There are a number of parts. A number of parts and a number of lessons in this gospel for today. Just in the part about Thomas, there are a number of lessons. Thomas was the first of the disciples to call Jesus God. I think that's kind of interesting. But Jesus was not impressed, really. You have to note the tone of reproach in that question, have you believed because you have seen me? And also, forgiveness is certainly a part of this gospel with respect to all of the disciples, and also Thomas himself. And curious, the word is not mentioned except in the part about the office of the keys, the forgiving and withholding sins. But just by being there, Jesus was forgiving his disciples for their failure to believe him previously, their great failure. I have a title today, and the title is Doubting Thomas, with a question mark. I just say that because you can't see that there's a question mark. In the gospel for today, we have heard how Jesus appeared to his disciples who were hiding out in the upper room of a house and behind a locked door. Locked doors were no problem for Jesus after he had risen from the dead. Jesus came and stood among them. There is no mention here of passing through the door. We have only been told that suddenly he was there in the room with them. Thomas was not there at the time, as we heard, and apparently he was the only one of the apostles who wasn't there, since there is no mention of another apostle missing this appearance of the risen Lord. When they told Thomas what had happened, when they said, "We have seen the Lord," then a big idea came into the mind of Thomas. Remember the old expression when someone was up to no good? What's the big idea? Right? Well, you know Thomas's big idea. He wasn't going to believe in the resurrection of Jesus just because the other apostles had said so. His idea was that he needed to see Jesus for himself and touch the wounds with his own hands. Now you might think that Thomas was just being sensible. There's no virtue in being gullible. But Thomas was forgetting something. Jesus had told the disciples three times that he was going to die and rise again on the third day. None of the disciples trusted the truth of that prophecy. All of them should have been waiting at the tomb before sunrise on Sunday morning for Jesus to come out. But none of them believed what Jesus had told them. Thomas, of course, had the further distinction of not believing all of the rest of the disciples when they told him that Jesus was alive and that they had all seen him. On the one hand, we can sympathize with Thomas. We know ourselves that it isn't always so easy to believe that someone can rise from the dead, even for Jesus to have done so. And we've been hearing about the resurrection of Jesus since we were, in most cases, little children, right? For Thomas, all of this was a fairly new idea, not first heard as a child, but as an adult who was already familiar with death. In fact, if he was among the disciples who were standing afar off at the crucifixion, and there's no reason to think that he wasn't among them, Thomas had seen Jesus die with his own two eyes. On the other hand, though, Thomas should have believed Jesus when he said that he would rise again. And those same two eyes that demanded to see Jesus alive again had recently seen Lazarus come out of another tomb. And why shouldn't Thomas have believed the other disciples when they were unanimous in their testimony? And we may assume when they showed by the tone of their voices and by the expression of their faces that they weren't making it up. The disciples must have been thrilled to death. And how could Thomas have not noticed that? Sometimes it's true a group of people will band together to play a trick on someone, but the resurrection of Jesus was hardly something to joke about. No, they couldn't all have been lying, and yet still Thomas refused to believe. Doubting Thomas, he's called, right? And the phrase has become so familiar that we apply it to anyone who is inclined to doubt. But it isn't entirely correct to say that Thomas doubted. To think of him as a doubter only is to miss a very important truth. Yes, he did doubt that Jesus was alive. He doubted the predictions of Jesus. He doubted the testimony of the other disciples. He doubted plenty of people. But there was one person whom Thomas did not doubt. Himself. He was quite sure that he couldn't believe unless he were to see Jesus with his own two eyes and touch the wounds in the body of Jesus with his own hand. So while Thomas doubted others, he was sure about one thing, his own thoughts. And of course, they turned out to be wrong. In the long history of the world, Thomas has not been alone in thinking for himself and being sure of himself. Jesus had confided his plans to Thomas and the other disciples. Three times he had told them that he must die and rise again on the third day, but that wasn't good enough for Thomas. And what did Thomas's reliance on his own thoughts do for him? We can only imagine, since we aren't told directly. We have a sense of how despondent the disciples were after the crucifixion from the weeping of Peter, for one big example, and hiding out together in that upper room somewhere in Jerusalem. We hear the hopelessness very clearly in the words of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We had hoped, said Cleopas, had hoped that Jesus was the one to save Israel. Their dreams had been dashed by the death of Jesus. Cleopas's dreams and also Thomas's dreams, we must assume. Because he refused to believe, because he was so sure of himself, Thomas must have stayed in the same despondent mood as those two travelers on the road to Emmaus, as they were on the afternoon of Sunday. With Thomas, this went on for a whole week. And all the while, Thomas could have believed. If only he had listened to Jesus and the other disciples rather than to his own thoughts, he could have had the joy that the rest of the disciples had after the resurrection. Fortunately for Thomas, he only wasted a week of his life because he was so sure of himself. But think of how often the same waste has occurred for much longer durations in the lives of countless people who prefer to listen to themselves rather than preferring to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd in accents clear and still. In a world's way of thinking, doubting yourself is a bad thing. In Christianity, doubting yourself is fundamental and essential. As Martin Luther so colorfully put it, you should be on your guard against any ideas that you call your own, as if they were just so much mud and filth. If only Thomas had had no ideas of his own, if only he had doubted himself and had been sure of Jesus instead. Oh, well, it turned out all right in the end. It all came out in the wash, as my mother used to say. And besides, it gave Jesus the opportunity for such an important lesson. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. It came out all right in the end for Thomas, but what about the rest of the human race? How do you get people to stop thinking for themselves? How do you get someone to give up on his own big ideas? Jesus stopped Thomas by confronting him directly in person. Jesus could do the same with each one of us. But that is not how he wants to relate to us. Jesus wants to be believed. He wants to be trusted. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Alas, people only usually become willing to trust in Jesus when trusting in themselves hasn't panned out too well. But why do we have to learn the hard way? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, said Jesus, and I will give you rest. It's a familiar verse, isn't it? You know what the next words are? It's kind of astounding that we don't know the next words just as well. He said, learn from me. That is the key. Learn from Jesus. Thomas should have learned from the predictions of Jesus. Thomas should have stood on those promises. Jesus wants us to trust in him rather than in ourselves. I came, said Jesus, in order that they may have life and have it abundantly. When we stand upon his promises rather than wallowing in doubts, when we seek wisdom from him and his word rather than thrilling to the sound of our own thoughts, when we give up on ourselves, on our dreams, and wholeheartedly join his cause, his kingdom, then we find the peace that passes all understanding, and a life that is worth living, the abundant life that our Creator intended for us from the beginning, here and now, and for all eternity. Amen.